full, but it's good to be here. We love worshiping at Refuge Church with you, my wife Mindy here. We're so grateful for this congregation. It reminds us of home.
Esta congregación nos recuerda de lo que es estar en casa,
because for many, many years on the West Coast, we served and helped to start a bilingual church, preaching Jesus to people who need him. In both languages,
durante muchos años tuvimos el privilegio de pastorear una iglesia bilingüe en California y de predicar la palabra de Dios en los dos idiomas.
So again, thank you, Pastor Mark. I'm excited because as I understand, you are beginning this year in a series of messages that are really all about your purpose as a church.
Están en una serie de mensajes sobre su propósito como iglesia. And I know that because when Pastor Mark told me the focus of the series, Christ-Centered Community,
I said, "Oh, that's what you say every week. Every time I've come here, Pastor Mark is saying, we are a what? A Christ-Centered Community.
Somos una comunidad centrada en Cristo."
And you've been reinforcing that, focusing on that through this incredible part of God's word known as Ephesians, the letter of Paul to the Ephesian Christians.
Han estado mirando en particular Efesios, la carta de Pablo a los Efesios.
And so today I'm just so grateful to be able to focus with you on a few verses in Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 15 through 23.
Vamos a leer Efesios 1, versículos 15 al 23 y enfocarnos ahí.
I'm going to read the whole thing for us here in just a moment in English and then in Spanish.
Voy a leer el texto en inglés y en español a continuación.
But what we're going to do, Paul, and I'm sure you've discovered this already as Pastor Mark's been taking you through this book. Paul, like anybody else, if he traveled in an airplane, he would be the guy that would get on the airplane with just a little bag about this big. And he would have 10 days worth of clothes in it, okay?
Pablo podría subir a un avión como una bolsa así con 10 días de ropa.
Why? Because Paul knows how to take amazing biblical truth and just stuff it into a small space. Pack it in.
Pablo sabe embutir mucha verdad bíblica en un espacio muy chiquito.
And so what we're going to do today is we're going to unpack this.
Vamos a desempacar esto.
And there's so much here to encourage us, I believe. So I'm going to read from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. These are words from the pen and from the heart of the Apostle Paul, but they're inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so this is the Word of God.
Son palabras inspiradas por el Espíritu Santo y por eso son la palabra de Dios.
He writes this, "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all and all.
Por eso yo, por mi parte, desde que me enteré de la fe que tienen en el Señor Jesús y del amor que demuestran por todos los creyentes, no he dejado de dar gracias por ustedes al recordarlos en mis oraciones. Pido que el Dios de nuestro Señor Jesucristo, el Padre glorioso, les dé el espíritu de sabiduría y de revelación para que lo conozcan mejor. Pido también que les sean iluminados los ojos, el corazón, para que sepan a qué esperanza Él los ha llamado, cuál es la riqueza de su gloriosa herencia entre el pueblo santo y cuán incomparable es la grandeza de su poder a favor de los que creemos. Ese poder es la fuerza grandiosa y eficaz que Dios ejerció en Cristo cuando lo resucitó de entre los muertos y lo sentó a su derecha en las regiones celestiales, muy por encima de todo gobierno y autoridad, poder y dominio, y de cualquier otro nombre que se invoque, no solo en este mundo, sino también en el venidero. Dios sometió todas las cosas al dominio de Cristo y lo dio como cabeza de todo a la iglesia. Esta, que su cuerpo, es la plenitud de aquel que lo llena todo por completo. La palabra de Dios. Gracias a Dios, ¿verdad? Thanks be to God for his word. I can remember many, many years ago hearing a talk by an Italian-American sociologist by the name of Tony Campolo, and some of you might have heard of him. Hace años escuché una charla de un sociólogo italiano-americano que se llamaba Tony Campolo. Tony Campolo grew up in Philadelphia, in the streets of Philadelphia. Él fue criado en Filadelfia como italiano-americano, and he tells this story about his childhood. Relató una historia de su niñez. He said that, you know, in the neighborhood where he was, he grew up with not only Italian friends like himself, but he had a lot of Jewish friends. Él tenía amigos italianos y también amigos judíos. And he noticed something as he was growing up. He noticed that the Jewish friends, the Jewish kids, were way smarter than the Italian kids. They did better in school. They got better grades. Los niños judíos tenían mejores notas en la escuela, avanzaban más en la escuela. And perhaps this was where he began to be a sociologist. He started to observe and try to figure out what was going on. Él observaba para ver qué estaba pasando, como a lo mejor sociólogo en formación. And he noticed something. Se fijó en una cosa. That when the Italian moms sent their kids off to school in the morning, they would call after their kids and they'd say, "Hey, Tony, Tony, don't forget your lunch." Las mamás italianas decían a sus hijos, "No olviden sus almuerzos cuando iban a la escuela." But the Jewish moms didn't say that. The Jewish moms would call after their children and they'd say, "Hey, Yitzhak, Yitzhak, don't forget your books." Decían las mamás judías, "No olviden sus libros." You see, the Italian moms were focused on their kids having full stomachs. The Jewish moms wanted their kids to have full minds. Las mamás italianas querían panzas llenas para sus hijos. Las mamás judías querían cabezas llenas de información. So sometimes it's what you're looking at, what you're focusing on, that's going to actually lead you to the result that you get. And that's an important thing to keep in mind, I think, as we go to God's word today. A veces el enfoque determina el resultado que sacamos. Here we have, in chapter 1 of Ephesians, we have a prayer of Paul that really challenges us in our praying. This is a challenging prayer. Aquí tenemos una oración que nos reta a la hora de orar. It is not unlike many of our prayers. This is not just a prayer for food, right? Like, give us this day our daily bread. Now, that's not a bad prayer. It's not just a prayer for, oh, God, be with us today and help everything to go well. I don't know about you, but sometimes my prayers kind of tend in that direction. A veces mis oraciones tienden a la dirección de, Señor, dame mi pan cotidiano y ayúdame con las cosas, con la vida, para que todo esté bien en la vida, ¿verdad? That's where I tend to pray. That's my focus. I want my stomach full. I want life to be good. Quiero mi panza llena y la vida buena. Right? So if that's where our focus is, if that's where our prayers are, and that's not bad, right? Jesus taught us in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. Jesús nos enseñó a orar así. No es nada malo en eso, decir el pan nuestro de cada día, dánoslo hoy. But if that's all we're looking at, if we're just focusing on getting through the day, being okay, we probably shouldn't be surprised if we're living from meal to meal, from crisis to crisis, from paycheck to paycheck, and that's pretty much all we're looking at, right? No debemos sorprendernos si vivimos de comida en comida, de pago en pago, de crisis en crisis. That's what Paul's doing here is he's challenging us. He's saying, wait a minute, there's something bigger. Hay algo más grande. This is a prayer for something way more. It's not just a prayer for us to have full stomachs and be okay. It's not even a prayer for us to have full minds. No es una oración por panza llena ni de mentes llenas. It's a prayer for us to be focused and to know the one that the greatest book of the world is all about. Es una oración para conocer al que es el
enfoque del libro más grande de todos. So let's dive in here and look at what this is about. At the very beginning, Paul says, for this reason, I'm praying. Por eso estoy orando, dice Pablo. Por eso, versículo 15. For what reason? ¿Por qué motivo? Well, whenever you hear a therefore, you have to ask yourself, what is it there for? Right? So we go back just a couple verses. Atrasamos un par de versículos. In verse 13, 14, he's talking about what has gone on with these Christians. He's saying, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel, you believed in Jesus, and you received the seal, the promise of the Holy Spirit as an inheritance. Dice Pablo en 1:13, ustedes cuando oyeron el mensaje de la verdad, el evangelio que les trajo salvación, creyeron en Cristo y fueron marcados con el sello del Espíritu Santo como una garantía de su herencia. So he's saying, you have received the word of truth. You've received the good news of Jesus. You believed in Jesus. You've been given the Holy Spirit. And it's for this reason that I'm praying for you. Han escuchado el mensaje, recibido a Jesús, y por eso tienen el Espíritu Santo, y por eso oro por ustedes. And ever since I've heard about this, that you have believed in Jesus, he says in 15, since I've heard of your faith in Jesus, and since I've heard about your love for each other, because that faith is coming out in action, I do not stop giving thanks for you. Como que he escuchado de su fe en Jesús, su amor a todos los creyentes, no he dejado de dar gracias por ustedes. I keep remembering you in my prayers. I keep praying for you. This isn't a one and done. It's continual. Es una oración continua. And what is Paul praying for? Well, I hope you get enough food. No. He's saying, I am asking that the God, verse 17, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. Pido que Dios de nuestro Señor Jesucristo, el Padre glorioso, les dé el espíritu de sabiduría y de revelación para que lo conozcan mejor. I'm asking that God Almighty, who's given you the greatest gift, Jesus, would also give you his spirit so that you would know how to live. You'd have wisdom and you'd have revelation, light on your path. I'm asking you for knowing that you would know God in all his fullness in everyday life as you're going through life. Quiero que el Dios que les dio Cristo, que les dé el Espíritu Santo para que tengan sabiduría de cómo vivir cada día y que tengan luz en la senda, que conozcan a Dios. I want you to know God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all of him. Quiero que conozcan a Dios, Padre, Hijo, Espíritu Santo. How? ¿Cómo? Verse 18. Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened that you may know. Pido también, dice el 18, que les sean iluminados los ojos del corazón. I want you to have your eyes open. I want you to be able to see and perceive this God. With spiritual eyes, not maybe physical eyes, but spiritual eyes. The eyes of your heart. Quiero que tengan los ojos espirituales abiertos a la realidad y a la presencia de Dios. And how are you going to know the God with you through your spiritual eyes? What do you need to see? What do you need to perceive? ¿Qué tienen que percibir? Well, three things that we want to look at here. Hay tres cosas. First, verse 18, he says, I want the eyes of your hearts enlightened that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. Pido que les sean iluminados los ojos para que sepan a qué esperanza él los ha llamado. I want you to have your eyes wide open to the hope of God. La esperanza de Dios. Now we need to just pause right there and understand what kind of hope we're talking about. The kind of hope that we see in the Bible is not the kind of hope that most people think about when they throw around this world, this word in our everyday world. No es la palabra esperanza como en el mundo secular. A lot of times when people say, well, I hope something happens, what they're really saying is, it's probably not going to happen. But I'm still wishing it would. Like, I hope I win the lottery, even though I never play. Right? Espero que me toque la lotería, aunque no juegue. A couple weeks ago, when I was supposed to be here and the power was out, it was Super Bowl Sunday, right? ¿Se acuerdan? Hace dos semanas, el Super Tazón, cuando se cortó el poder aquí, la electricidad. Well, it'd be like saying on Super Bowl Sunday, I hope the Titans win. They're not in the Super Bowl. That's worldly hope, right? Espero que los Titans ganen el Super Tazón, pero no están jugando. Esa es como la esperanza mundana del mundo. But when we talk about a biblical hope, it's a different kind of hope. It is a hope in something that it is a confident expectation of something that is certain to happen based on solid evidence. Es una expectativa confiada en algo que va a pasar basada en evidencia sólida. We have the hope of forgiveness of sins. It's solid. Why? Because Jesus is the evidence. He died on the cross to pay for them. Ten la esperanza de perdón pecados porque Cristo murió en la cruz para pagar los pecados. Hay evidencia. We have the hope of eternal life, of the resurrection from the dead. Why? Because we have the solid evidence of Jesus rising from the dead. There's a reason for it. Tenemos esperanza de vida eterna en la resurrección porque Cristo resucitó de los muertos. Hay evidencia. And so when we talk about a biblical hope, it's more like saying, I hope spring comes. I hope summer comes this year. Well, yeah, it's going to come. It's going to come. You can count on it. Es como decir, espero que venga la primavera o que venga el verano. Claro que sí, va a venir. Paul says, I want you to know the hope that you've been called to. And this hope is Jesus. Quiero que conozcan la esperanza a que los ha llamado. Esa esperanza es Jesús. Are your eyes open to it? It has to do with tomorrow, but it's certain, and so we can count on it today. The second thing, he says, I want you to know, verse 19, what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe. Segundo, quiero que conozcan cuán incomparable es la grandeza de su poder a favor de los que creemos. I want you to know the riches of your inheritance. Quiero que conozcan las riquezas de su herencia. There is richness that I want you to perceive and see. You are rich. But it's not just rich tomorrow, like I hope I'll be rich tomorrow. No, you're rich today. Tenemos riquezas hoy. And where are those riches located? In the saints. There is a richness, there is an inheritance that God has given us right now within the community of Christ, the church. It's located in the people of God. Hay una riqueza de una herencia dentro del pueblo de Dios. It's Christ in our midst, here and now. Jesus is not just someday, he's here. Within the body, he's at work. Cristo está aquí en su cuerpo y está obrando. Have you ever experienced the richness of your inheritance in the people of God? ¿Han experimentado la riqueza de la herencia en el pueblo de Dios? It was a month, it'll be a month ago tomorrow that my dear dad, Dean Siders, left this life. January 23. El 23 de enero, mi padre, Dean Siders, murió. And I can tell you that in the last month, it's not always been easy, but I have experienced the richness of the body of Christ, of the church. Aunque no haya sido difícil, he experimentado la riqueza de mi herencia en Cristo en el pueblo santo. Through prayers, through expressions of sympathy, through cards, through meals, hugs, tears, others shedding tears with me and my family.
por medio de oraciones, expresiones de pésame, por medio de tarjetas, comidas, practical helps. I'm rich. I've lost my dad on this side of heaven, but I'm rich.
Mi papá no está aquí en este lado, pero soy rico,
because there's an inheritance that is mine. And it is yours too. Have you ever experienced that?
That's what Paul's saying, I want you to know and to see, because what that richness is, the inheritance is Jesus. The hope is Jesus, and the inheritance and the riches are Jesus.
La riqueza es la herencia, es Jesús.
Third, Paul says, I not only want you to have hope, I not only want you to have riches in your inheritance, I want you to know what is, verse 19, what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe.
También quiero que conozcan, versículo 19, cuán incomparable es la grandeza de su poder a favor de los que creemos.
I want you to have your eyes open to the power that you have at your disposition. And that power, he says, is the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. It is according to that. It is like that. It's lined up with that.
Está alineado con ese poder, la fuerza grandiosa y eficaz que Dios ejerció en Cristo cuando lo resucitó de entre los muertos.
In other words, he's saying, I want you to know the resurrection power that is yours through Jesus Christ, who is risen from the dead. God has raised him up, he goes on to say, and he has put him over everything.
Dios resucitó a Cristo, lo puso encima de todo.
He's over every power and authority and rule and dominion.
Está sobre toda autoridad, poder, dominio.
He's over every name that can be named, not only here in human history, but forever in the age to come.
Está sobre todo nombre aquí y también en lo que es devenir, lo que es el tiempo venidero.
And there's power. And you have a connection with that power if you have trusted in Jesus.
Hay conexión con ese poder si tienes confianza en Jesús, fe en Jesús.
A couple weeks ago, the cable snapped here. No power for the building, right? You guys didn't lose power. You didn't lose Jesus, right? You still have power. Yeah, thankfully, Jesus doesn't have a problem with trees. He made them, right?
Cuando se cortó la electricidad aquí, el edificio no tuvo poder, pero ustedes sí tienen poder en Cristo Jesús, ¿verdad?
Yeah. Resurrection power. And that power is the power that we need to walk through daily life. Power for overcoming addiction. Power for overcoming depression. Power for getting through grief. Power for dealing with unemployment. Power for financial challenges.
Es ese poder es para superar adicciones, para enfrentar depresión, para enfrentar el luto, para enfrentar el desempleo, sea lo que sea la situación.
There is power. And it's not only for us, it's meant to be for others.
No solo para nosotros, es para otros.
In Acts 1, what did Jesus say? Jesus, risen from the dead. Get the picture. He's risen from the dead. He's with the apostles. He's about to ascend to the Father.
En Hechos 1, Jesús ha resucitado los muertos y está con los discípulos. Está por ascender al Padre.
And what does he say to his disciples? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth.
Recibirán poder cuando venga el Espíritu Santo sobre ustedes y serán mis testigos hasta los confines de la tierra.
That's power. And Paul says that this power is set up. Why? Because Jesus has been given to the church as the head. Look at verse 22. It says, God put all things under Jesus' feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all.
Dice que aquí que Dios sometió todas las cosas al dominio de Cristo y lo dio como cabeza de la iglesia. Esta que su cuerpo es la plenitud de aquel que lo llena todo por completo.
We're connected to Jesus. And therefore, we are connected to power. And the power there is for this. It is for us to be a people whose eyes are upon and open to the hope we have, to the riches we have, to the power we have, so that we can be filled with Jesus, our head, and then reflect him to the world. It's to go out of this community called the church, this Christ-centered community. La visión es que Dios nos dé su esperanza, su riqueza, su poder para que estemos llenos de Cristo y lo reflejemos a todo el mundo como sus testigos. So here, this is a vision for church that goes way beyond what we normally think about. Goes way beyond just an hour on Sunday morning or an hour on Wednesday night. Una visión para la iglesia más allá de una hora el domingo, una hora los miércoles. Right? It's way beyond what we tend to think of. When you hear the word church, what comes to mind? Cuando escuchas la palabra iglesia, ¿qué viene a la mente? Do you think of a building on Rayan Drive? Do you think of covered dish dinners? About noon, so I suppose some of you might be thinking about that, right? ¿Piensan en comidas compartidas? Are you thinking of Bible studies? Sunday school? Vacation Bible school? Do you think about the food ministry that you have here every month? A lo mejor piensan en escuela dominical, estudios bíblicos, o la entrega de comida cada semana. Those things are all a part of church, aren't they? And those are good things. But it's way much more. God has so much more in mind. And so the question is, what can you see in the church? ¿Qué pueden ver en la iglesia? It was about 15 years ago. Some of you probably remember there was a big to-do. There was a big kind of this, you know, thing going on, a buzz on the internet about a dress. Hace 15 años había mucho alboroto sobre un vestido. You guys remember that dress? And the question was, what color is it, right? ¿De qué color es? Now, many like me, I said, well, this thing is, it's white and gold, of course. It's a blanco y dorado. Others said, no, it's blue and black. Otros decían, no, es azul y negro. What color's the dress? What was going on? I didn't understand what was going on. But there was this debate. It was an illusion of sorts. What was going on is that you see on this side, see the light back there? There's a little bit of a backlighting. Hay una luz detrás del vestido. And what that light did for some people, it tricked them. You see, our eyes are conditioned to see things in certain ways, and that light behind there made people look at this dress in a certain way and say, oh, that's a white and gold dress. La luz detrás engañó a las personas a decir, ah, este vestido es de oro y el color dorado. No. The reality is the dress was actually blue and black. I still don't believe it, but yeah, that's the truth, right? Estaba de azul y negro. But it was because of the backlighting that people were thrown off. Se engañaron por la luz de atrás. Well, here's what I'm trying to say. When we think of the church only as the different parts of it, when we think of the church only as just as a place to get fed or a meeting or an activity, or even a Bible study, those things are certainly a part of the church, and they're important. Cuando pensamos en la iglesia como lugar donde alimentarnos, o una actividad, o un programa, o un estudio, esas cosas sí son parte, but that's the backlighting. That stuff is really meant to reflect and to show something bigger. The Lord's Supper is not to be the focus. The Lord's Supper is so important, but it's meant to show us
Jesus. La Santa Cena no es para llenar la panza, es para mostrarnos a Jesús. It's not to fill you. You don't get enough bread or you don't get enough juice in the Lord's Supper to fill your stomach. It's to open your eyes to Jesus. Para abrir tus ojos a Jesús. Bible studies will fill you with doctrines and right teaching, and I will never be against that.
Los estudios bíblicos nos llenan de doctrinas y buena enseñanza y buenas cosas,
but that's not the focus. That's the backlighting. It's meant to show us Jesus. And so here's the thing. Jesus doesn't want to just fill our stomachs and fill our heads with knowledge in the church. He wants to fill us with himself. He wants to fill us up. And that's what Paul's trying to say here. I want the eyes of your heart to be opened to Jesus.
Jesús no solo quiere llenarnos las panzas y las mentes, nos quiere llenar de Él mismo.
He wants to live among us. And that's what we're talking about. Being a Christ-centered community means that we have Jesus big in the windshield. Always.
I love the songs we sang today. That, they talk about that, right?
Turn your eyes on Jesus.
Ser una comunidad centrada en Cristo es tener a Jesús grande, grande enfrente de nosotros. Que podamos verlo.
I heard this from a pastor a couple weeks ago, and when I heard this, it just knocked me over flat. He said, you know, if you're in water and you're swimming, if you're in the ocean, as long as your head is above water, you're not going to drown. Isn't that an amazing truth? I mean, it's like, wow, who ever thought of that, right?
Si tu cabeza está por encima del agua, si estás en el océano, no te vas a ahogar.
Well, Paul's telling us, we have a head, and we are his body.
Tenemos una cabeza, y nosotros somos su cuerpo.
Jesus is our head. He's above all things.
Jesús está sobre todas las cosas.
He is greater than everything, above every name, above every problem, every crisis, every challenge. If we are connected to him, guess what? We're not going to drown.
Si estamos conectados con Jesús, no vamos a ahogarnos porque Él está sobre todas las cosas.
And so the challenge is for us to keep Jesus in mind, to have him at the center. And when people who believe in Jesus and love each other keep their eyes focused on him, they experience hope for the future, richness in the present, and power for everyday life, no matter what hits them.
Cuando somos una comunidad que tenemos a Jesús enfrente, siempre con él como el enfoque, vamos a tener esperanza para el futuro, riqueza en el presente y también poder.
And so this morning, I want to rejoice in that with you.
Vamos a regocijarnos en eso.
I want to ask you, what are your hopes? What are your desires for the church? For Refuge Church.
¿Cuáles son sus esperanzas, deseos para esta iglesia?
More of this, less of that. Change the colors of the pews. I don't know. You could have all kinds of desires, right?
Cambiar el color de la alfombra, lo que sea.
Whatever your desires are, whatever our dreams are, God has so much more in mind, right?
Dios tiene muchísimo más en mente.
You are his body. We are the body of Christ, and he is the head.
Nosotros somos el cuerpo y eres la cabeza.